The November 2nd, 2015 special meeting will now come to order at 7:30. Roll call, Mrs. Moak.
Mr. Buchholz. Mrs. Clark. Mr. Escalante.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Here.
Mr. Alger.
Here.
Mr. Bochinski. Mrs. Nelson.
Here. All right, public participation. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board this evening? Welcome.
Hi. Actually, I have Willie DeFabio.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Mr. DeFabio. And we are streaming live, so welcome those who are watching us.
Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. First of all, I'd like to compliment the board on looking long-term. One of the most difficult concepts for a board, any board, to grasp is your work is long-term. Because of the state laws, culture, practice, whatever, it can take a very long time to implement any change. And that's the reality that we face. And we try to implement change more quickly, in the words of one board member, circumvents the process. And it hurts the integrity of the whole thing. So I really compliment you on looking long-term. I am very disappointed that some board members were not able to make this, because you all tonight will, in one sense, set the agenda over what you're going to commit your time to over the next few years. So thank you very much for doing this. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to share an incident that occurred over the weekend. I was at the grocery store and ran into a couple of students and their parents, and we got to talking. I'd not met them before. And I said, if you're watching the Bears game, perhaps the ceremony would be on where they were going to honor Mr. Pindar, our teacher from Lincoln last week that was honored by the Bears. It was interesting. The son thought he had heard something, and then the father, light bulb went off, and he goes, oh, yeah, I saw that on the website. And he got to talking about the website and how much he gets out of it. And I wanted to compliment the district and Mrs. Cravio, thank you, on the work that you do in order to help people learn more about the district and to keep up to date on it, and also to celebrate things, because in any process, celebration is critical, that we take a moment to say, yeah, that was a job well done. So to get that word, those words out to the community is really important, and on short notice, you all were there, and I just thank you very much for spending taxpayer dollars very well.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Jen Rapp. Good evening.
Hi. I started looking at the school improvement goals this last week just to see how they're tied into your district goals and kind of how they compare to where I work. I work in Wheaton, and we work a lot on our school improvement goals. They're a lot more concrete. I understand that you use blue... Rising Star, thank you. Blue Star, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know this meeting was tonight, and I thought, oh, this is perfect timing, because the school goals, I think, need to be tied into the district goals. And I have looked at these pretty thoroughly, and I don't see a lot of correlation. So this Rising Star goal seem very general, and it even says on here they're more fluid, they're not concrete. Where I come from, if the district is emphasizing reading, for example, in my school we had to look at the pretest, and we picked main idea because that's big with Common Core. So 30% of our students at my school, at Pleasant Hill, got 30% right on the pretest when it came to main idea and supporting detail questions. Mm-hmm. The goal for them by the end of the year is for 75% of our students to get that right. I don't see any of that concrete kind of data in this, and maybe it's because it's Rising Star, mm-hmm. but it's a concern of mine that there's not any quantitative measurement in here. I was also concerned because these goals, which Dr. Gordon sent to me, every school has a different date in which the goals need to be accomplished, and I don't understand why that is. Ben Franklin was June 2015, Churchill May 29th, Lincoln, October 2015, Forest Glen, June 4th, and Hadley, May 29th, 2015. So all these dates have passed, and I was wondering how you were updated on whether or not these goals were met. There seems to be an academic and then a socio-emotional goal with each. And I kind of concentrated on Lincoln because that's where my kids went. And they talk a lot about the socio-emotional goals and looking at different tools to measure the socio-emotional growth of their students. But it's very general, and I would like a follow-up to this to see what kind of socio-emotional measurements have been done. I would like to kind of see this tied into the think tank plan. You know, there's a lot of stuff in here about PDL coaches, about literacy coaches and math coaches going into the classroom. And I would just like to know if these goals were met fully, partially, mm-hmm. and then what the next step is for the next round of 2016-17 goals.
Thank you. Thanks very much. We will follow up. Thanks, Jennifer. All right. Anybody else?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome, everybody. Tonight is about setting those strategic priorities for the board. We are working from the renewal of our long-range plan. The long-range plan was set in place in 2011. And it really set those strategic priorities for prior boards. Tonight's work is to really review that work and then for this board to set those priorities moving forward. So it's an important night. And as elected officials who carry the community with them in these types of conversations, as Willie alluded to earlier, that it's important to really see that long-term view of our district and where are we going and what are we doing. So tonight it's an important first step in the renewal of the long-range plan. So I appreciate everybody being here. That was our why we were here. We're a slide behind, so we're good. But we're really here for our students, for today's students and tomorrow's students. Where are we going? What are we doing? So that's that long-range plan work. Tonight, we're here as your support. I'm not going to be adding in. This is a board conversation. This isn't a staff conversation. I'm here to facilitate. Erica is going to be taking notes, and she'll be helping craft some of the language with the board. Nancy is the board recording secretary. You guys are the participants. You're the one doing the work here tonight. So that's the role and responsibilities for the evening. Our vision, our mission, it's in our boardroom all the time. Sits there, that driving force for the district that was brought together by many different people a number of years ago. But this is our mission for D41. In front of you, in one of the sheets that you have in front of you, are the board norms that were agreed upon by this board. I would just pay maybe particular attention to 10 and 11. They seem to really hone in on what we're going to be doing tonight. Does that feel comfortable if we focus in on those two? Obviously, we focus in on all of our norms, but for tonight, paying particular attention to those two.
Paul, just for those that are watching, because we are streaming, welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Erica.
Item 10 reads, respect each other's point of view and ask questions to clarify understanding, and number 11 is presume positive intention of other opinions.
Thank you.
Norms, yeah.
So for our purpose tonight is identify the strategic board priorities. We'll give you an example of what that looks like. Our non-purpose is really creating those action plans, the board work and staff work. Really big picture, that balcony view. Where are we going within the district? Long term, long range plan. So really that balcony view is what we're focused on tonight. So you have the long range plan in front of you. or at least the goals, I should say. Board members have this in front of them. And as you can see, this was crafted in 2011. At that time, they were looking at six different goals. You can read each one. And they were important that we continue to look at these. But now is the time to say, are these the goals of this board in moving forward? Within my board and superintendent goals, you have that in front of you as well. The board set aside academic learning and programs, facilities, finances, district culture, climate, community engagement, and communications. Those were really big buckets that the board set aside, for myself. So the first part of the work is really identifying those strategic priorities. What are those strategic priorities going to be? And it's about looking at the long-range plan. It's about looking at the board superintendent goals and saying, what are those big buckets? What are those strategic buckets that we want? Are they what has been written in the past, or are they more similar to what you've put in my board or in my superintendent goals? So it's starting with those big overarching strategic priorities or goals. So take a moment, just kind of look between the three documents, those documents that I've given you, just to cross-reference, you know, from a long-range plan idea of goal one to the strategic priorities that you've put into the board superintendent goals and outcomes.
Well, I guess one observation is that the strategic priorities that are up there, which are the exhibit that are part of your superintendent goals that are, again, going to be fine-tuned, are not without a partner on the long-range plan. You know, I think that there's some alignment, obviously, between those. It's not the same language, but I think the intention is there,
mm-hmm.
These higher-level areas.
I had a question. How did we, for tonight, was there a reason why we picked tonight as the night that we did this? Or, I mean, is there something within our policy that states we have to update these now? Or
This is the year for the renewal of the long-range plan. So the board sets these big goals. And it's going to take a lot more work with other, with the CIT and bringing pieces back to the board. So it will take a few months to get the renewal of the long-range plan in place for the following year.
So one of the concerns I had is we've done, you know, we've now got surveys in place. You know, it just for me as I looked at this, you know, to me to find out what the stakeholders are actually thinking, or so I guess. You know, I'm a little concerned that we don't really know. We haven't interviewed our 80% in a number of years. It's been a couple of years since we've interviewed our parents through a survey. So, I have a concern that we're doing this now ahead of the surveys. So
recognizing when the surveys come back, we wouldn't have a renewal of a plan. For the following year, because we won't be reaching out to the larger overarching community until now April, May. So you would not have a strategic plan going forward, because the plan is up at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. So, and again, as the elected officials of the community, you've had many, many opportunities to engage with the community, and you've heard from different stakeholders on different topics, and really trying to bring those to that high level. Where are you at? Where do you want the district to be within? Again, are they these buckets or are they the other ones? That's at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as we bring things forward, though, I mean, you could look at Stephanie and I, as we bring things forward, obviously we were elected on our platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that the rest of this board, you know, has taken much of what we brought forward with any kind of concern. So I'd like to see survey data, because I have a good feeling of the gauge of the community, but with survey data, we can actually back that up. So,
well, I guess I would look at it as, you know, the reason your earlier question, when this plan was put together in 2011, this has a 2012 date on it, and the plan was to remain in place for 4 years, so that's 2016. So that was the life of the plan, and kind of built in that direction. My sense is that the data that comes back now and then in January and then March and April is going to provide more of the detail around the means. So how will the district, if you are using the same goal from this first one, support student learning and achievement? You know, or we build our own. The words that I think about, because we use them a lot, is rigorous education supported by data, right? So maybe that's, to me, the bucket. Then that data that comes back from the surveys supports in terms of direction setting. But we're a school district, so it seems to me that as a board, there's some natural strategic priorities that we should be able to agree upon are in terms of the goals of the district. It's not the how, it's these strategic priorities as the why of what we're doing this. So I think that the surveys are going to inform us, Kurt. I would agree with you that when that data comes back, it's going to give detail around the means, which is what then Paul will have to bring forward to his administrative team and then bring back to the board.
Maybe I missed a clarification on the timing of our development of this long-range plan. So we're starting off today. We actually did some stuff in our workshop before, which those blue sheets are behind you.
Yep.
So then we're furthering our development of it tonight. And then you mentioned CIT and other things are
correct.
You're doing it on your side. When is the wrap-up? Is the wrap-up March, April? So it's June. So we're probably going to have another workshop to facilitate the development of this plan once again. So we'll have some of the data back, perhaps all of it if we're in June. But it's by the time we finish our board term in June 30th, 2016, that we have it in place for the next four-year period.
Okay.
So I see we're here tonight to continue to brainstorm where we started before. And we're getting data, and not only survey data, but we'll get other data along the way to help us enhance whatever we develop. And you can certainly pivot. You can certainly pivot if something that the board feels is much different than what we developed in November of 2015. So, I get it. Thanks.
So that first piece is I apologize.
No, I was just going to say, along with what Kurt said, I think, you know, we can start brainstorming, but I think it's going to be important that we take into account the data from the surveys, because otherwise, are we just coming up with our opinion, or are we truly representing what, you know, the community and the stakeholders of District 41 want for our school district? So I think it's important that we make sure, that we, you know, we take that into account as well as our conversations and things like that, but I think it's an important piece that.
So does the timeline, which I just kind of detailed, does that work within what you just said or no?
I mean, I think if we'll have, you know, information from the surveys.
So yes.
If the board's willing to pivot on things that, as you termed it, pivot.
It's from a term that we used before when we did the the affordable reduction, we use the term pivot just so you know the history of it. So I think we've shown before we pivoted on that.
Well, I mean, I guess that's your opinion.
I will.
Interesting aspect, but I'm not
sure. I was trying
I'm
to give sure my opinion, not yours, by the way, so everybody knows. Trying to give mine, not Kurt's.
Yeah.
So we started with 10 and 11. I want to go back to 10 for a minute because it says that we should ask questions to clarify understanding. So I want to make sure I understand this. Is it your opinion that the surveys should be the determining factor in the goals then and not the board? So in other words, if we take a survey and the survey comes back and says something to us, we should change to equal that survey, or do we just let the survey influence us as we move forward? Because that's an important point for me to understand what you both are saying about the survey, because as a board member, I'd be reluctant to take any survey at any given point in time and say, now that's the direction I'm going to go in because that's the way the survey came back. Because there's always all kinds of things that can happen with surveys and changes. I think that we're here to represent people in the community, but we're also here to take all of the knowledge that we have and try to chart a course. And I think that it could be, in my opinion, it could be not a good approach to just say, okay, we took a survey, it disagreed with this, so we're going to change direction. Because I don't think that's very strategic.
Well, I don't know that you have any idea of any other direction. That's the concern that I have, is, you know, beyond conversations that all of us may have. So, you know, we do live in a society of representative government.
Yeah.
So, and we're here for that. I'm not smarter than they are. So, for me, does it completely influence everything that you're going to do? Probably not. And you're maybe going to see some things that are contradictory within the survey, some of those things. But I don't think we have any idea. We have not asked the community in a number of years what their thoughts are. I don't think we have. So we're starting to design something, and the people that are footing the bill around here haven't even had an input into it other than the fact that they've elected us. And my concern is, Stephanie and I were elected, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure every avenue that we've tried to approach, we have been pushed back on by other members within this board, and almost as if to say, well, I'm not sure who you represent, but, you know, it's unimportant to us. So that's the concern for me, is that I believe that many of the things that we believe or bring forward will be validated within the survey. But, you know, and so that's it's justification, because I'm not sure that we come in ever on a level playing field.
So with that argument, though, this is important for me to understand. Along with you and Stephanie being elected, Erica was elected too. Mm-hmm. And she was elected for her third term. Mm-hmm. And she's been involved in this too. So you have to grant that there's a part of the community who thinks that we're on the right track. If you're going to argue that you were elected for
that,
your
that's
constituents,
true, but,
right?
But that's true.
So we have to take into account all of that, not just one set
but
of
but you don't even take into account anything that we say.
Well, I...
So...
I do.
Yeah.
I don't believe
I
that
think
you
that's,
do.
I,
so, okay, well,
I
then,
I mean,
then I'm a liar to you, but I do.
Well, I go back and see how many times have you acquiesced or agreed with things that we've brought forward. Almost never. So that to me is... You can make yourself feel good and tell me that, yeah, I do, but your actions speak different than that. So, I mean, if you can point to me where you've, at any level...
Most recently, the survey adjustment that was made was, and in fact, you guys went forth and put a plan together, and there was adjustment made on that.
Well, at the last meeting, we heard that...
Well, the
survey was always coming along from
the
survey.
Well,
yeah.
No,
well,
yeah. What importance
I,
the survey?
I,
should
I feel like, we're, I feel like we're, to use your term, kind of pivoting. I mean, what I'm hearing Kurt say and Stephanie say is that it's important that as this data starts to roll in, and I think we all agree that this data is critical, that whatever these strategic priorities, and again, this is high level. If we're here tonight and you know, I'll just put kind of a non-statement there. If we can't agree as a board that academics and learning of programs isn't a strategic priority, I have to tip my head and say, well, then what would be? If that's not a strategic priority for a school district as an overarching theme, and then as that data comes in and we look at what's currently going on, how the data informs that, and then starts from a management's perspective, comes back and says, we're doing this, we're changing this, we're not moving this forward, et cetera, that's the means. That's underneath the bucket. And I'm optimistic. I mean, I came in here tonight really optimistic, thinking we can think of these larger areas of agreement, because we're all here with an interest of being elected to further support, you know, education.
I was going to just say that, you know, the to your point, same thing. These larger bucket items are items that I don't think would be defined by a survey. I think the survey would create actionable items probably inside of those buckets. But, you know, development of human capital, you know, I don't know how that could be. That there's something under the survey that says we'd like that to go in a direction of whatever. I think that'd be an action underneath those long-term issues. To degrade the long-term vision under a point-in-time survey, I think does injustice to the whole idea of long-range planning. That's visionary planning. That's not actionable planning that would be under the survey results. Mm-hmm. So
corporations don't use their customer survey as part of implementing their long range plan.
They use it as a data point.
But we don't even have it. That's the point I'm making here.
But what I'm saying is that long term planning done by the boards of corporations, they define those. They define those
based,
and they say, what is the, if we're going to go down that direction, then let's use data points to get to us to that long-term vision and see what we need to adjust to get to that point. But the milestone is defined by that executive board, be it stock ratios or financial planning, which I think we have in every one of these. I think this, personally, I don't know outside my only comment that I put on here is goal number five, is what I've heard is communication and analytics, semicolon, acquiring and sharing information. Mm-hmm. That goes to the data gathering that you want to get. Mm-hmm. That's big bucket stuff. Analytics mm-hmm. says that we're going to start using data and data mining to deliver goals one through six. And that encompasses the conversation we just had.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only thing I would say, just to kind of to move forward, is, you know, let's work through this process and brainstorm. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, one thing that I felt that Kurt also said is there are times when I've brought up issues and I feel as if there's a feeling of, well, that's just, you know, Stephanie and, you know, a couple of people that support her or show up to meetings. And so I would ask that as we're going through this, if there's ideas that, and I'm not saying that we're not going to do this, but if there's things that are brought forward, instead of dismissing it, maybe we can keep an open mind and say, well, maybe we do need to wait and see the survey data and get more information versus just dismissing it, mm-hmm. You know, because it's a minority opinion of the board. So I think if we move forward like that, then hopefully that would... Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with the point, Stephanie, but I don't agree with the action. It goes back to what I just said. I think the survey would help drive some of the goals that we want to get to, and saying, you know, if we took a survey that said develop human capital and the survey question was ask 10 questions, do you want all teachers to have PhDs? If the answer was yes to their survey, then we would have to take action steps to get all the teachers into PhD, you know, criteria, because that was one of our board's goals. I definitely won't dismiss anything that you say, but I want to make sure that the buoy is at a level that's high enough that it is 3 to 4 years out thinking, not the next 18 months thinking.
Mm-hmm. But so you're already dismissing. I brought concerns up, and you're already.
I'm not dismissing. Dean's
asking it under a question, but he's really dismissing it, and you're dismissing it before we even started.
I'm giving you my opinion.
What I'm hearing from the get-go is that we've got a job here tonight, and it's to brainstorm, and it's not looking at the how, it's looking at that larger, higher priority. What should the priorities for a pre-K through 8, Glen Allen District 41, school district be?
Yeah.
And how you do it, I think more what I'm hearing you say, Kurt, is that the concern is dismissing the action, the how, the means, like that piece. And we're not... My understanding coming into tonight, knowing that the long-range plan is this upper level, you know, high level, is that we're not getting into logistics and operations. It's do we agree that as we identified some goals for the superintendent, that academics, learning, and programs is a strategic priority? If it is, then is there some language around that that we think is important? Is it around... you know, all students supported through differentiation? Is it through data? Is it some other type of, you know, is it analytics, like you're saying? You know, like what might be the descriptors around that? But we're not here to say, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z in order to get that done. The survey data is going to help to identify something.
And that's what you say. I'm not saying that we're drilling down to anything. I think what I'm saying is, as we bring things forward, there is a dismissiveness here from Stephanie and I on many items. And so a survey is used to track and see what things are common, what themes are common, mm-hmm. what things are important. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about high level, whatever. But, you know, I never said we're drilling down to nitty gritty here. You said that. We have a difference of opinion, probably as usual, that I believe, probably Stephanie as well, that, you know, I believe we're putting the cart before the horse, because I believe that we should be encompassing survey data from these kinds of things to try and see what the community also believes are important things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's my opinion. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to get down in the weeds and the nitty gritty and whatever you say with the how or the why or however you restate people's opinions. I believe that we should, because I believe that if people here are willing to say that they're going to be open minded, think about things, I'm willing to go ahead and give it a shot. But I do believe that we should be looking at survey data as something that we have. And obviously, if Joe uses the term pivot, you've used the term pivot, you're obviously saying that you're willing to take a look at that, and that's fine. I just think rather than develop these and then have to pivot, why don't we find out what it is and then move forward strategically that way? So
I just like to flip what you're saying and flip the coin for a second. I think if the surveys are this great data point, which I think they are, I think that's what you're saying, they're a very good one that we should and will take into consideration, maybe not at the 30,000 foot level as you're describing, but every foot underneath it. But if somebody wants to do it at the 30,000 foot level, that's fine with me. But if we're here today, this is the other side of the coin now, so if we're here today discussing this, the beauty of it is that those people taking the survey can hear it. And maybe they'll take that into consideration and give more comments or more things they're looking for, because now they've heard this. The other end of the coin is to do it where they don't get to hear this, and then they take the survey absent of it. To me, more information is better. They're going to help. Mm-hmm. It may make their survey better. Maybe a lot of people won't hear it, so maybe it doesn't matter. And then what we talk about tonight, when we... 4% of people here, or 10%, or whatever it comes out to be. But to me,
I think you, to me, after hearing what you had to say, I think it's more important that we do talk about it today so those taking the survey can take this in. And I think that's important.
Okay, so let's, I feel like we have consideration to move forward. We're going to be open-minded and really respect each other's thoughts and opinions on this piece. The first place we really need to start with, and I'm going to steal Patrick's term, around those buckets. What are those buckets? In front of you, you have six goals, and on mine, Superintendent, you have these five areas. A little more just direct, this is what those priorities are, and just seeing those differences. What are those, again, using that term, what are those strategic priorities? What are those strategic priorities that this board wants to set? Again, this is just that title, that phrasing of it. What does this board want for its strategic priorities?
Personally, I think whoever did the goals of Erica, whoever, John and Pam, or whoever did these in 2011, did a good job. I think they're still relevant. You know, there might be some word tweaking in terms of like the technology potential to one-to-one access that technology. I think we're getting there. I think that's now in terms of what are we going to do with the technology. And then, again, communication and analytics. I think literally every one of these goals was visionary enough to take it to the next level in the next 3 to 4 years. I'm really not sure.
So you would affirm the goals, those headings, those bold,
yeah,
those bolded those, terms.
Yeah, right. The bolded terms, right.
I would agree, too. And one of the things I was wondering about is that what our goal is tonight, is to look at these and see if these have to be changed?
Yep. So you're about renewal of this and ensuring that this board has that long-range plan. And are these strategic priorities the priorities of this board moving forward, that long-term view?
Yeah, because the way I'm looking at these, and as I reviewed them before the meeting, was that we're on track for a lot of these goals. This has influenced what we're doing. You look at facilities, you look at some of the ways we're approaching the academics. So this is our strategy right now. So is the question whether we should be changing these big buckets?
Do you have
input on that would be that I'm pretty happy with the six that are here.
Okay.
They
and
seem
we're starting
to be
with, yeah, we're, again, we're just starting
yours
with these big,
five.
Bold.
Yeah,
pieces.
Yours are five, but you can actually put all six of these in those five.
Yeah. There's alignment.
Yeah.
There's alignment. And that's what Erica talked about earlier around, you know, that I would refine my goals based off of some of this work here tonight and finding those same strategic priorities. We would adjust mine based off of whatever the board decides here.
So for these big buckets, I guess, then I would say I'm satisfied with where they're at.
Okay. Others?
My only change would, I guess, it's communication and analytics.
Okay. That's it. Again, Erica's going to, she's capturing your thoughts and your opinions.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, I don't, in terms of the big things, the six big themes, I think we've captured it. I mean, I think there are some issues that we need to address in terms of some of the specific wording, you know, for six. I'd like a more definition in terms of a monitoring and analytical piece, you know. With Ken talks about it, but I just like to have that expanded. That's just me.
But that's okay. I just want to. All I'm looking for right now are these bolded, these big terms right here, the goal itself. And then you'll get into, these are really the conviction and beliefs within it, the sentences, really around those convictions and beliefs. So are these the right buckets, using Patrick's term? You're comfortable with the six?
I am.
And
I
again,
guess,
we'll get into this piece next.
I guess, and I'll open it up to the board. I mean, I look at this and I'm racking my brain thinking, what am I missing? We got six. I think we got six. I'm comfortable with these six, but I'd really like to see if anybody else thinks there's there's another a goal that we're missing.
Well, the goal that I think we're missing is, I think, you know, you can create a set of laws, but if you don't have anybody to make sure those laws are being followed, so if you don't have a police department, then they're no good. So to me, we need to, and I put it, you know, back in August, we need to have a goal which clearly defines. I mean, I've heard people say, well, we're on track.
Well,
okay, that's your opinion. There's other people here that don't think we're on track with a lot of this stuff, you know. So so for me, you know, I'm not sure that any of these are bad in any way necessarily, but we certainly need a deputy sheriff to start making sure that these things, and that should be our responsibility as a board. And I just think that we need to hold ourselves accountable in a goal that says we're going to make sure that the things that we're promising to our kids and to our taxpayers, that we're doing that. And that we're not only going to say that we're doing it, but we're making sure that we're doing it. So
I would agree. And I think that's important language within the conviction and beliefs. I think that those words have to come out, Kurt. I really do. I think you have to drive those words within wherever they fit to say that, because then that's staff's work to be able to bring it to you to say, now we have clearly outlined in our goals, because this is what you hold me accountable for, and then I bring forward that next level of kind of that means work to say, is this what you're looking for? Are these the analytics behind it that you want to hold true for the district? So, but are you comfortable with the six overarching goals, the terms?
No.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I'll just be honest. So in just looking through these, my first question would be, is have we considered, I mean, I know we have a long-range plan, but I guess in my mind, have we ever considered, should our district goals align with our superintendent's goals, like, every year? I mean, would that make it more simple to evaluate? I mean, I apologize on my phone because I don't have my Chromebook tonight, mm-hmm. but, like, just kind of looking at some other school districts and how they did it, and that's, I found some examples of that where they have, like, six goals, and it's the superintendent and district's goals. So just food for thought. We don't have to answer that or solve that. I'm just,
it's why I said early on, board and superintendent goals. Because I see the goals that you set for me, those are those goals that have to trickle down throughout this entire organization. They're not just my goals. Because if they're mine, then you really have no influence. You have no influence over this organization other than me. And that's not what the board, and it goes to what you said. For you to have true accountability, there has to be pieces that this is woven throughout this entire organization.
Right.
Or you're just having the superintendent jump through some hoops to bring you what you need, but it's not impacting the entire organization. So I think, yes, I think you should, but I think as you look at this, because these aren't really visionary, and they weren't meant to be, but how do you see the tie-in between the two? Are the words in here, and in what Kirk was saying, and I'm just looking at academics and learning, create a new set of district academic goals to define specific, and these are the words that I think are really important, define specific academic metrics annually. So that's a piece. How do you weave some of that language into these pieces? So people see, again, this isn't, and it was never intended to be visionary, but do you see the connection between this and this? And you don't have to look hard. You don't have to squint, stand on your head to say, what the heck's Paul's goals aren't part of these goals or the superintendent's goals. But you really should be able to see a clear alignment between the long-range plan, the superintendent goals, and to what Mrs. Rath said earlier. You should see the goals down to the school level. You should see direct alignment throughout the organization, because that's the only way the organization moves. When you think about the superintendent having one employee, you've got to make sure that these pieces align. Or having one employee really doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Well, and I guess, I mean, you know, maybe not for this year. I know we already have the goals for this year, and these weren't visionary, but I think it's something we should consider going moving forward. Maybe the superintendent's goals should be more visionary, and they should, you know, maybe our district goals should be updated. You know, if the board is already going through the process of reviewing the superintendent's goals yearly, and maybe that's, if they are more visionary, maybe that's the district's goals. I don't know.
Like, but remember, these are three-year goals. These are three-year goals.
Just adding what Stephanie said, I just looked at the five goals. And to me, just one direct comment on that, I think when we were talking to him about his goals, we wanted him to be very specific, though, so that we could say, bam, he didn't make that one, bam, he made it, instead of a visionary process. That's what I remember.
And I agree with that. I don't think the
but
I don't think the superintendent goals should be visionary.
No, I don't think
so.
They should.
I just want to make
sure
make that clear.
They should align.
But they should align, and I agree. And
yes.
I agree. And that was your point, Stephanie. It was alignment. So, and I went through this, and this is where I looked at year five, and then I looked at these six, and I said, okay, academics and learning, one and three. Facility, six. Finance, six. Culture and climate, two and four. Community engagement and communication, five. I think that's how they align, how I just stated.
Yeah.
Now, I think technology fits into academic and learning. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't kind of know where that one was.
I would.
So, I just, to me, that's how I see the alignment. That's how I see it. I look at culture and climate on yours, and I like that term for our overall goals, as opposed to the two and four, development, human capital, and for ambassadorship. I see the culture and climate as a bigger bucket, using Patrick's term, and those other things on how you fill that bigger bucket, you know, just to break it down. And then I like Kurt's point. You got that? Accountability, because I actually think that word has meaning. I think it's a general word, and I don't know that I want to see it in the light print. I think, Kurt, what you were saying, you want to see it in the dark print, right? In the bold print. And I mean, I see that as an overreaching thing that when you know, and I actually like the last goal. I think the order of the goals matters to me, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe they shouldn't, but they do when I read goals. And I think accountability is a good last goal because it's a catch-all for all the ones in front of it. That's just about, we're going to put them in order. I'd probably change the order. I think the first one that is in there is the right first one. But I think the last one should be accountable, and I won't get in a long debate on the other order. Mm-hmm. But if I had first and last in the bookends of them. But that's where
I'm at.
Just
a quick summary. You're comfortable with technology going into learning, whatever that, however you phrase learning.
I am.
Just, Eric, are you good with those pieces? And then a possibly reordering, because from your perspective, it matters where they land,
right.
And then that human capital.
I'm not sure I'm agreeing with the ordering though.
You don't think that matters, or you just don't like my order?
I don't think we should set a precedent that it should matter.
Well,
it should all six. How you read it versus how I read it. All six are equally important.
They're all equally important.
Yeah.
So without numbering.
So without having a conversation.
It's a priority.
Maybe even without numbering.
They're just,
correct.
These are our priorities.
Right.
Yeah, they're not ranked in a priority order.
Yeah.
I just think the order in which you read them is often
right.
The read accountability.
Yeah. But I do like the idea if you put the accountability, it's a nice bucket to catch.
But I do think, Paul, just to add to you, the summary of mine was culture and climate.
Yep.
I think that's two and four combined. I mean, I think two and four are very important, but I find those to fall under culture and climate to kind of condense two and four into one.
Yeah. We when you look at this, again, one is student learning.
Right.
Then you would say two and four are these culture and climate, kind of those big buckets. And then technology you would put into
one.
Mm-hmm. And then you would have finance, facilities.
There's six on this call.
And communications.
And communications here.
And then add one, like Kurt suggested, for accountability. Mm-hmm. Because if we're talking about big buckets, these are things we're saying should drive our decision-making, our strategy. And I think if I'm not... I don't want to misparaphrase you, but I like the idea of putting in something that says, and we should be checking it up every once in a while.
My only pushback is, when you write your clarity, when you bring your convictions and beliefs, everyone should have accountability.
I agree.
It shouldn't be its own thing. Each learning should have some accountability.
Sure, it should.
Each one should have one.
I agree. That's why I like.
That's my only. Again, this is your work, not mine. That would be my feedback.
I think having it bold says a lot, and that's why I like it last, because it catches all those things in front of it. But
Stephanie, I know you wanted to.
No, yeah, I wanted to talk about the goals. I didn't get to that. I asked my first question. I'm
going to let everybody into the conversation.
As far as goal number one, I think academic, student learning, and achievement obviously is critical. I'm not a big fan of the 21st century.
Yeah,
personally,
we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing it. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need it in the 21st century. That's.
Could I throw something in just to tag on to what Joe was saying earlier? Could it be something around student and staff learning to bring in that professional development, that human capital phrase, because it really is about both the adults and the students learning?
I think a goal, one of our goals just has to be about student learning and achievement.
Bringing the two together.
I don't think we should bring the two together, and I think that needs to include, that's where we include, you know, fidelity and accountability in the decisions that we make. Consistency.
So I'm just going to hold you there. Just keep on that. Just keep on the goal piece. Because we'll get to the convictions and beliefs, that next piece you're talking about.
Okay, sorry.
So how would you phrase that? What would be that strategic priority? Would it be academics? Would it be student learning? You said you're not comfortable any longer with that.
I just don't like in the 21st. I'm okay with student learning and achievement.
I
wrote down, looking at, like you guys have been looking at other districts, but something that a couple other districts use, not verbatims, but a strategic priority would be a rigorous education for all students. And then I added supported by data, because there's that accountability or analytics piece.
I mean, that to me is more like the detail under it, not the goal.
I would agree.
I think the goal
is
simple.
This is that big bucket you're going to put the rigorous learning within.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To really give it to that meat, that definition, that clarity, that your conviction and belief about, and however you phrase it, student learning and achievement. Who else
said?
What
about student learning?
What about performance
and academic achievement?
Student learning,
academic performance. Yeah, either one.
Student learning and academic achievement.
I like achievement and performance.
Student learning and achievement.
And academic achievement.
And academic achievement.
And drop in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to be thinking about it.
That's okay. We can come back to it. But we're good for the most part on that, and then you can think about it, and we'll come back for a final review of each one. Mm-hmm. So this next one.
Number two and four, I was still going through mine.
Okay.
I agree with Joe on that. I feel like those can really could be combined into culture and climate.
Okay.
Two and four.
So are you comfortable with just culture and climate?
No.
Okay.
I think you need to have something, and I'm not good at this, so I'll defer to people that are strategic planning, but foster positive culture and climate, something like that.
You're really good at this.
Yeah.
Something separate.
Just giving some lead into it, fostering a positive.
Separate bold print.
Right, that's it.
No. You have to be careful with the term positive, because one of the things that I've noticed that I think we at times get involved in the school district is when we ask questions, when we ask for answers, there's the adjustment made that you're somehow not being positive. And I've heard that used within our system, that people that are questioning are not somehow being positive. Well, they're questioning. It doesn't make them negative. So I'm not sure the positive has. For me, that terminology leads people in a certain direction, and it can be oftentimes misused.
Okay.
So, for me, I'm not really comfortable with using the term positive. You could, I don't mind the direction you're heading with that, Joe. I just think
yeah.
and maybe it's that's more within the convictions of beliefs that define it.
I think you need something more than culture and climate, and it's a productive something, and it's fine if it's not positive.
Can I pull these apart just once for some to think a little bit about? Mm-hmm. When goal two is development of human capital, and Stephanie was saying, and Joe, you know, bundling those under culture and climate, but I feel like this, the idea of development of human capital in this original priority was really about professional development, learning opportunities, recruiting a workforce. I mean, this isn't very interesting, the sound of it, but to me this one is really more about now moving into looking at human resources and talent development, because, you know, message within the district, community, et cetera, is we expect the best. And, you know, a high level of faculty members with master's plus, you know, just this expectation of continuous learning, improvement. So I feel like culture and climate is its own, but human resources and human capital or talent development is different.
I think the word, what is
I have
an
idea. Climate? Here's one. What about, I don't know, like this one says recruitment, mentoring, and retention of talented staff, or like something along those lines.
Recruitment,
recruitment, mentoring, and retention of talented staff.
And we want to develop
that. I like
too.
That those words exactly, but something in there that talks about.
Are you saying instead
so recruitment and development as opposed to mentoring, because mentoring is a pretty specific
an
as
action.
Opposed to developing where you're trying to grow.
Here's where I'm at.
I think it's a good idea. A, two, it's B. I think they have to be separate because culture and climate is the culture and climate of the district. And part of the district, you know, is the resources to do the support and stand up that district. And you need to have the investment in that human capital to be successful at that. So I think they're separate.
I think they're separate. Because I think it drives what Lori Campbell does in terms of looking at staffing and then looking at even demographic changes and how we, you know, try and hire to, you know, to recognize those changes in demographics. I mean, that's all talent and recruiting and and development. And it's what Stephanie is saying. It's that
the culture and climate, I think, as its own separate one, helps you define agnostic of the board members today, tomorrow, and 4 years, superintendent today, tomorrow, whatever, they're trying to understand the culture of the macro and micro environment as well as the climate in Glen Ellyn mm-hmm. to move those things,
yeah,
which is different.
Yeah, I see it as different. Yeah.
Okay. So we have some coalescing around professional development.
I think parsing them out really causes us as a board then, if that's a strategic priority, to be able to identify those specific goals to reach that.
Okay, so
but if they're bundled, I feel like that could get lost.
I don't disagree with that statement.
Well, I was just going to say maybe I'm hearing what you're saying, and what if it's just it's more of a what we want, which is exemplary staff, and under like the outstanding, you know, staff, you have all those things mm-hmm. like professional development. You know, all of those other pieces that go underneath having exemplary staff. Mm-hmm. That's the goal that you want to have. So
that would be the priority.
You know, and you're supporting them, and you're investing in them. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. And then the same for the you know, the fostering a culture and climate is more about maybe a healthy culture and climate. And then how do you get, you know, a healthy environment? And those are all mm-hmm. the things, the bullet points that go under that. Mm-hmm. So
those are
just some, kind of what I'm hearing you say,
mm-hmm.
and just some
more. I agree that's what Erica's saying.
Thank you, Joe.
But to me, it, you know, I use the word team a lot. The team is who you're hiring. It is that you bring people in that who are going to sustain your culture, improve your culture, improve your culture. To me, it's all bundled up, and I'm fine with them separate at the end of the day. My preference in a perfect world is to have less than six goals. Mm-hmm. I think six
you barely fit.
Well, maybe once we get to the end, we might see some alignment. And
your goals are your goals. If you have 20, you have 20. You just got to make sure they're achievable. No, my point is you don't want to limit them. That's the extreme 26 year. But to me, this whole, when I think about a culture is people. No.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, it's not the
well. Level. Culture is the beliefs and the behaviors of the organization, right? So, I think the precursor to that is that defined.
The organization doesn't have behaviors. To me, it's the people within the.
I'm saying the people's the beliefs of the organization really drives on the behaviors of the organization, and that to me is that culture and climate piece. What we're assessing.
I'm with you, but I don't get that. Mm-hmm. Because a organization does not have. It's the people within that have.
Could we maybe talk about some of the other ones?
Now? Maybe.
See where we're at.
So we're gonna.
I had a couple other.
Okay, so we have kind of this.
We can come back.
Yeah. So goal two, we're gonna put on hold that development of human capital, exemplary staff, or professional development. That's, mm-hmm. Those are kind of some of the terms that I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I look at that development of human capital, I don't even know. I mean, that's
doesn't feel very.
No, I mean, it's almost like we're trading as a commodity on the stock exchange. I mean, it's just, to me, it's
lingo.
Development of human capital. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know,
so well, even the one Stephanie said is better than that.
Or I like exemplar.
Well, I like exemplary staff.
All right, we'll come back to that one.
Okay,
one thought I had.
Where are you at?
Technology. I'm kind of wondering, technology, I feel like we have to have technology. Yep. Technology is just part of our life. So really, isn't kind of our needs for technology going to tie into student learning and achievement? Because I personally would rather see facilities as a goal, and I think finance should be a separate goal from facilities. I think
what you have in mind.
I would agree with you. I do agree with you, but I don't know if the next
on which one on the technology.
Not having technology.
Okay.
I think we should keep technology maybe through one more four-year cycle because I think who knows the board member after me or the board member after you that would say, nope, we're going back to blackboards and notebook paper.
I don't know
if having technology in there one more four-year cycle truly solidifies the next. Or
I think just the way.
I think if it's in the thinner print.
I don't think. Yeah. I guess I don't see it that way. If we're trying to, if we don't want to have a ton of goals, I'm just trying to think of what's kind of intuitively obvious.
Our classroom
doesn't have to be spelled out as a long range goal. Is all I'm saying. I'm not saying.
I agree they're loaded, and I agree that we took. But I think we're in a green shoots atmosphere right now, and that could be very easily pulled away if funding gets pulled from the state or something like that.
But remember, any board in the future can change all this anyway.
Right.
So even if we do
but it's that long-term vision that says, okay, our long-term vision was to really hold on through technology, learning through technology, and. When you rip out a long-term vision, that's you're doing something drastic.
The only thing I would, one place you can put it is ensure that your convictions and beliefs in the student learning or academics or whatever, however you phrase that, it comes alive here in the way you talked about it, that you're learning through technology now. Because as Kurt said, we have a lot of technology right now. Are we using it to enhance student learning, because that really is the key behind the technology.
Well, that was what you talked about at the league. You talked about, and I agreed with you, that
pedagogy.
Enhancement is, the reality is the great teacher is what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. You can put all sorts of technology in there. And I agree with Stephanie, as I looked at this, I started to think, by the 70s in the United States, were we telling people, we should create a goal to have all TV sets. Everybody had a TV. They were all starting to get a TV set. That was never going to go back. People weren't going to listen on the radio, and sit around. So I think technology is in the classroom. It's there. I don't think that we're going to have some conspiracy of people that are going to say, let's go back to, blackboards. I agree to limit goals. I think I agree with you that you can put an enhancement, technology enhancing, because really technology to me is not, you know, our people are far more important than technology. And to put technology equal with those, I think technology just is an enhancement within the classroom. So,
can I ask a devil's advocate question?
Let me go here first. Dean was...
So I would agree with what Stephanie said and Kurt just said about the technology, because technology seems to me an ends to a mean, not what we're trying to get at. And that's more a step under goal one, technology is. Mm-hmm. And we say in there the district will prepare students to succeed, and if we get rid, we could just put a period there and get rid of mm-hmm. in the 21st century. And if technology changes, you're going to need to keep changing that to make sure that the kids can succeed. So I think at the time, we were probably in a situation where we were investing a lot of capital in this. So I think that the prior board thought, we need to keep focusing on it, just like we talk about facilities a lot. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someday there'll be a board that doesn't have to have facilities as a huge driver in everything they're doing. So I think you could get rid of the technology one, assume it's under one, and that they're of course going to use whatever technology is available to make the kids succeed. We don't need to have it. It's redundant, though.
Comfortable in that area? Patrick, last word on this one, because you're the dissenting voice on this. Are you okay with it being moved?
That doesn't mean it has to be unanimous.
Oh, I'm not looking for it. I just want to make sure that you're comfortable with where it sounds like
the majority. I'm comfortable where the conversation went. I'm not comfortable with the decision, which is
okay.
Fine.
Can I just my devil's advocate question,
yes.
And this is not rhetorical. As we decide these, I think it does make sense to lift it up under that, but be very clear about it. But might there be community members who see the loss of that as a strategic goal and think that it's not a focus? Again, just, and that will inform how we write some of that under student learning.
Okay. So we'll let that one on technology be the last word for right now. I heard finance facilities. Are they separate? Are they together?
They should be separate.
Okay.
And for what Dean said,
yeah.
the facilities part at some point hopefully is not as driving. Finance is always going to be a driving force.
Yeah.
Right.
Facilities, it's been, you know, it's been around for a number of years here. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to come to some conclusion with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with both of them that they should be separate issues. And facilities probably has to be on it now just to come to a conclusion. I'm not
whichever
what
way
conclusion
I
it is,
agree.
But that it probably does. And then maybe in 4 years, the next board will just be able to take that out as a goal.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied at the hip. So for me, for them being together is appropriate. Facilities are never, you're never finished with facilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's reasons for that. Technology changes, you know, student population changes, and all the rest. But to me, they're tied at the hip because without finances, you can't have facilities. Mm-hmm. I understand why they're together. You know, we have a position here that is superintendent of finance and facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have one, which I'm glad we don't have two different ones. They are tied to the hip. But at the end of the day, if it allows you to write more about facilities because it has its own goal, that's a good thing for me too.
Okay.
But I just, they're tied together.
You can see it both ways.
I see why it was written like that, and I agree with it. But, you know, at the same time, like I said, if you can write more about facilities and we are in need, I mean, there's, even when we're done, if we get done with the portables at Hadley,
mm-hmm.
if that's the next stage, there's still issues at our schools. I mean, you can see them. We talk about them in capital projects. We talk about other things, and it always comes up with dollar signs next to them. So,
to me,
I'm fine. It's just it's not going to go away, nor should it.
It's a subset to me, though, of finance.
Okay.
I mean, it to me is it's like if we did that, then we should make the goal the get rid of the 20. But finance and facilities and you know, personnel and anything else that we have line items for under finance.
I think the reason to pull it out separate too is that there's certainly you feel it in the country, the state, everywhere, that there's a recognition that there are challenges in finances, and to pull it out separately and keep it separate and then also recognize that we have these challenges in facilities seems to be appropriate, because I would agree we're always going to have things we have to do on facilities. Right now we're talking about some pretty big things, or maybe not, you know, but and eventually someone, some board in the future will have to take up facilities again, you know, with buildings, and they're going to last forever. But finances is just seems it should be separate and something we'll focus on.
It's
quick. Are we thinking maybe facilities? I think of facilities in a when I think of facilities, I think like operations even. But I wonder if what I hear people talking about is that we're talking about learning environments, and that, you know, programs historically drive the finances. You know what we're doing because we're to Kurt's point, it's and
well, programs drive.
Programs drive facilities. So what we're doing is that learning environment, we're adapting that learning environment for the program. And maybe it's not just facilities. That's too broad. Maybe it's really thinking about the learning environment and optimizing that, deciding how we really think about the learning environment, and that could include those pieces.
Across the board, though, it sounds like we're okay with separating the two. Okay, not yet. So I apologize.
Just one thing to add to what Dean said. I mean, I think for at least right now, I mean, maybe in the future, facilities could go more with finance. But right now, to what Erica said, that programs drive facilities. I know I'm going to mess this up. But right now, I feel like facilities is driving our programs. It's kind of flip-flop. Like, we kind of have some programs that we said we need, you know, full-day kindergarten being one of them. And so I feel like we have some unique facilities issues, not that there won't be issues in the future, but since right now our programs aren't driving our facilities, it's the other way around. That's why I think it's important to have facilities as a goal until we get some of that sorted out, and, you know, maybe in a couple of years it doesn't have to be its own goal, but that's just...
Maybe underneath it is the learning environment.
Well, I'm going a whole different direction. I'm going...
Oh, good.
In my...
Because this piece was supposed to be the short piece of the evening.
This is all we were
accomplishing. At this rate, because I was really hoping 9:30. Like,
well, it's going to happen. Right?
Okay.
Whatever. But it's...
This is a work in progress.
Yeah.
So it's a work in progress. I think if you go back in 2011 when you guys were thinking about this, by facilities was, we want to put it as a long-term vision because we want to solve the problem.
The portable problem,
yeah. Right? And so let's make that a goal. And I don't think putting facilities in the next four-year plan, because we don't, outside the operational aspects of current facilities, I don't think there is a, what are we going to try to get to in 4 years? You had a nut to crack in 2011, and I think we got there through this. So what I'm saying is, it is just a finance goal. You don't have facilities, because I would like whatever is happening in the next 6 to 8 months with our working groups, that there's an understanding that this is the end period, right? We're hitting the end of the line here. We've discussed for 10 years. 4 years ago, it was a conversation to resolve this issue. Now, whatever that decision is going to be coming out of this community task force, we're either going to move or we're not going to move, but we're not going to add visionary capital to the next 4 years, and it's just going to be a finance conversation. So I would just say it is a finance goal. Facilities is off.
But we've accomplished some of the goal, but not really all of it. I mean, there's still portables at Hadley. We still have to figure out full-day kindergarten. And I know the task force is meeting right now, and they'll have a recommendation, and we'll be working towards something, but that's not going to be complete by next summer. It's still going to take some time, a number of years. So I think it still needs to be...
Is it a four-year conversation?
I don't know, but it's not...
That's
in my
saying.
Mind, it's not finished. It's partially, but not...
To me, if you're speaking of that project that is out there, it's 4 years. I mean, by the time you develop a plan, you finance it, you get it going.
So to play the devil's advocate, say this task force comes with something, that something doesn't go through, it's done. Now that you have facilities of long-term strategic bullet point, are we going to make up stuff to try to reach that goal?
I think I'm going to go to my word pivot if they decide not to do anything, number one. But to me, I mean, facilities are should never be left off the long-term goals. If you do, you'll end up where this district probably ended up, because they lost the vision of their facilities in a changing environment. And it could be underfinanced, ultimately. That's where it falls. It could be together. or they could be separate. But I don't think you ever drop it off your goals, because the minute you do, you lose your focus, and your facilities become obsolete right in front of you.
That's what I think. I think it's really under this idea of learning environment, and maybe that gets bundled under something else. But I hear what you're saying. But I think if we left it off, then it, you know, when it drops off the table, it's really easy not to.
Yeah,
I think pick it up. But I think again, it's that sense of, to me, it's more about the environment, the learning environment in the district. What's our strategic priority for that?
Doesn't that go against what you said, that the programs drives facilities? And so if you put facilities up there, outside of the operational aspects of the air conditioners, rooms, and all that fun stuff you like to do, if you put facilities out there as a bullet point, you put it on the same plateau as learning programs.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying, to me, the word facilities isn't accurate anymore. I think we had a facility issue, like it was across the board, big. And now I think as programs move forward, it's more about how do we create flexible spaces, how do we get the most for our dollars so that there's flexibility in buildings. Yeah. And that's a means, I get, you know, that piece. But to me, it's that optimized learning environment. How do we make sure that's a vision?
You're writing the part that's in the non-bold down in the regular text, provides facilities that align with no longer 21st century, but align with everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you just wrote. So see, we're going to get through this.
We are. We are. So I'm hearing the majority are very comfortable with facilities, that it is going to be separate. There was an argument to bring them together, but I think the vast majority of people see them as two separate pieces that will add your convictions and beliefs underneath.
Yeah.
Am I okay in saying that? With a majority or somewhat consensus?
Yeah, I think the wording, the language for me for facilities is a little bit different. But yeah.
So if we were to keep with those now, because that's what I want to get to,
mm-hmm.
What do you want to call that strategic priority? Is it facilities? Is it that plain and simple? Or is it more along the lines of student learning environments?
Is it like an optimized learning environment,
okay.
Student learning, whatever it may be?
And I'd keep it, probably not optimized. Optimized would be in the conviction and beliefs.
But that's what I'm saying, that facilities was this huge thing. Now it's looking at the learning environment that helps to support what...
People within the environment change the environment. So it can't be
just one.
Yeah, then it takes the facilities out.
So Stephanie had a suggestion.
Could it be facilities and learning environments? I don't know.
I kind of think as a board, one of our responsibilities is to have a long-range plan for our buildings. It's the second most expensive thing we've got. So we've got people and we have buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been dealing with very short-term problems as a board. We've been trying to get rid of portables. And now we're trying to figure out how to house a new program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What we aren't having a conversation about is what year, what decade do we replace a school? And which school do we think it'll be, and how do we start to develop finances to back that up? Because kind of part of a long-range plan is to have that capital plan, and we don't have that. We never talk about when will you replace a school, or when will you, you know, will the schools just last forever? I don't think anybody thinks that. So I still think we have a big gaping hole in our facility plan. That, you know, and I said it when I first got on the board, we haven't built a school in 50 years here. And that means that with five schools, they got to at least all last 250 years if you're only going to replace 150 years. So, you know, it's just simple math. So we seem to have shirked that part of the responsibility on facilities, I think, is a long-range plan. Probably not right now because we're dealing with the house being on fire. But afterwards, someone needs to sit down and think about what is the replacement plan.
Wow. I'm not on the replacement plan, so
okay.
That's the depth part
yeah.
of it that
yeah.
I think we need to be really careful of, you know, because I think if you maintain your facilities, you know, I don't think we need to, you know, it's not like a car. I mean, I don't think we need to be replacing facilities. I think we've done a pretty decent job. I mean, you know, Joel talked about prior boards. You know, prior boards, I mean, our, you know, I can say when my wife started working in this district, the roofs were leaking. Mm-hmm. So those boards prior did a nice job, and I disagreed with some of them on some issues, but they did a nice job of making sure that our facilities were well-maintained. Our facilities are well-maintained. So I mean, one of the concerns I have with facilities being kind of a bullet point is, you know, I don't want somebody looking at that saying, oh, geez, this board wants to build a school. There may be some people on this board that want to build a school. That doesn't mean everybody on this board thinks we need to build a school, or we need to be tearing down schools to rebuild schools. I mean, I, you know, so for me, and when we talk about do we have a long-term finance plan, you would never have a long-term finance plan to rebuild a school. That would be a referendum issue that you would go to the community, state your case, and say, hey, this building's falling down. And that at that point is, that's how you borrow money to go ahead and replace those. And so I'd back off of, I disagree with Dean on those. I just don't want people watching this thinking that that's a poor direction that we need to be, that was Dean's goal, that wouldn't be my goal.
So, no, wait just a second. So you just said that is not my goal to replace the school today or in the near term. We don't have a plan. Is it going to be 100 years? That should be our plan then. We don't think we'll have to replace a building for 100 years.
I don't think that's our
responsibility. I'm not saying, I know we have to go through.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to try to finish this. I know we have to go through referendums if we want to build a school. I'm not suggesting we do that at all. But what I'm saying is I don't see a capital replacement plan in place. And maybe that the plan is that we're going to do it a piece at a time, like we've been doing it, by adding some, you know, you add some areas, and maybe you have to go and take down some areas in the future. But that's what I'm saying about facilities. I'm not suggesting that I don't want to build a school right now, and I haven't said that I want to go to a referendum on that. So I don't want you to put that out there either, because that isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying, as a board, this is our thing.
So the strategic priorities for facilities, is there a different term you want for this around student learning environments?
I think it's fine to have facilities on there, but I'd like to add the piece about learning environment, because I think that
bring the two together.
I think that is a piece of the discussion.
Finance
that's different
and program now. Facilities?
Finance and program facilities. Finance and...
I don't know, for me, facilities are facilities, and within the facility, you've got.
Maybe that's where you'll put your clarity, your conviction.
I think you put the clarity, if the board feels strongly that, you know, to Erica's point, if that's an issue, that I think you put that in there. Because, you could tack on 20 different things onto that statement about facilities is an encompassing thing. It's to Dean's point, do we have a facility that, you know, part of it's crumbling and we need to replace it? Do we have some things that don't work with, you know, within the structure that we have internally? So you could add all these subsets, but they should probably be defined in the... I just, for me...
I'm fine with that, Kurt. I'm fine.
So good with that for now.
Again,
you're done, you're never speaking about again, you can't ever come back to these, but we'll leave those.
But this is the reality check around where we were and why we were there and where we're going and why we're moving.
It's already... Right. Significantly different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just fine. On the strategic priorities, just from a language, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, culture, climate, I know we wanted something separate on that issue. Is that the right terminology?
Can we go back to finances?
Because that was so much fun.
Well, we talked a lot about facilities.
Sorry.
We talked a lot about facilities. And I just don't want to gloss over finances. One of my things, and I just wanted to open a dialogue. It's like, you know, I'm good with a lot of the verbiage here.
I'm going to stop you. And that's my role as facilitator, not to be rude. These are just the big priorities. We're going to get into the meat of it, your convictions and beliefs, all these words into it.
Is that
what you want?
I wanted to talk the accountability piece and see how do I define that.
That conviction and beliefs that each one of you have to bring to the table underneath it.
Okay, so
we're just taking out the bucket.
We're circle back.
That's what I said.
And finances stay.
Can
I?
Yeah.
Finances stay. I mean, we're not taking that out.
All right, I want to make sure. Cause I didn't want
finances
to get that
here.
Out.
So, Drew, what we'll do next is really get into that meat of it. What does that accountability look like from a finance?
But I'm going on one of your points. I mean, and I thought this was, and Drew was kind of going here. I mean, when you have just the word facilities, and you have just the word finance, and so we can go back to the facilities one. I understand that. I heard that. But that word by itself, what does it mean? Goal, finances. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, the people in 211, or 212 and 216 goals, they attempted, and I thought, did a pretty good job of stating a little more than just the word finances, 21st century finances and facilities. I know what that means. I know what 21st century facilities means. I'm not sure what 21st century finances mean, but then I can go, at least go down to the below it. But just having a word finances doesn't tell
and
me.
And I'm okay with that.
We're not
what you're going to be able to do,
no,
once
things?
You bring those convictions and beliefs, you will be able to add maybe a clarifying word or two around it. Because that's
we're just trying to get the bucket.
We're just trying to get
the bucket. That's on that bucket thing.
But are you saying
over my
we should add more on the term finance? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the goal shouldn't just be finance.
The goal shouldn't just be finance.
We'll straighten that out.
We need to get better verbiage and goal.
Well, and Joe, that's my issue around facilities.
I'm fine with that.
Right. Sorry.
I'm not a wordsmith here, but I don't.
No, 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 but I mean.
Do you just want the word finance by itself?
So.
I think we're going to come back to that, though. I mean, that's are we going to
work
this
way? Yes, we're not. These aren't like the final names.
Okay. Yeah. No, not at all.
Rough cut. Right.
Yeah,
rough cut.
I think the last one. Make sure I understand this right. Did we say
this? What culture and climate or community engagement?
Both of those.
Okay.
Let's talk about both of those.
Thank
did
you.
We say like goal number two, development of human capital, we should keep but change it to some wording that Erica has suggested, and then. Goal four and goal five, I'm almost wondering if there should be a goal more about culture and climate, and that would be more district-wide, community-wide, and then also a separate goal that basically is like community connectedness, which would be the community engagement. Then it's the communication. That would kind of replace goal five in my mind.
This one... reworded around community connections
community
would replace
connectedness replacing goal five.
The current goal five.
Yeah, the current goal five. I don't know, or something.
Connectedness.
I'm trying to. I like the word engagement. So.
Or engage. I
mean, just, I think.
But you can engage the community, but again, we have to.
Well, I want to enhance it. I don't want to leave it by.
Okay, that's what I.
I don't. The community and communication, it just hangs.
But
out.
That can be the detail. Too. I guess my question is: Do we need those three? We need those three goals. We need. There's really two up here, but we need three. One for staff development, one for culture and climate, and then one for engaging connection.
Yeah, I've
whatever
said
the
that point
on
that one. Right. I think the development.
I understand it right.
Yeah. That's what everybody resolved in. Resolved.
Well, I think what I hear you saying, too, is that under community engagement and communication, at least the way it's written, is that there's the engagement piece, and then it's the long-term connectedness, connection piece, how we sustain, you know, what we do, and then how we sustain that.
But I don't mind that word being in that instead of communication.
What word? Which word?
Connectedness or whatever.
It was just a word.
But
I'll
let somebody else.
It's not.
Erica can word
for
us.
There's people here that like it, so you don't actually have to.
No, I mean, I like one like it. I don't know if that's the perfect one.
But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I get the intention.
My question is culture and climate. Are we saying that should be, is that its own goal, or is somehow that tied to the community engagement?
Here's,
do you put culture and climate in that, and also the one
I'll
about
tell you what I'm thinking.
Staff development? But I thought we had said it kind of needs to be its own thing because it's separate. The staff development is one, and then the culture is another.
Here's where I'm at, just to be clear, because you brought the word community into the culture. And, okay, at the end of the day, we have a culture of our district. It's hard for us to control what goes outside that. Obviously, we can communicate with them and engage and get connected with them. But at the end of the day, a board sets the culture and the climate of its a governing body up. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, for us, it's District 41. So to bring the community, to me, is overreaching.
And that's why I think culture and climate, like I said before, includes all that that falls within it, which is your personality, your development of personality, your professional development. I know I was the only one on that before. I'm not trying to argue it again. But that's why I had it in there. And I think, to me, that's what we are here for. That's what we're governing. I guess we're governing over. So not the community side.
I would disagree with that just because, I mean, if you look at the superintendent's goals, the culture and climate has both staff and community and, you know, in there.
I understand that. But as the board, we don't control the community. I mean, we're here governing over the district board.
Yeah, I don't hear this as a priority to control. I see it as a priority to focus on it. To identify ways underneath that to continue to build the community engagement plan that Erica is now in second year on, you know, updating website. I mean, all those things. So it's not about control. I don't really think that's what you're saying, Joe.
But please don't reuse it.
It's not what you're saying.
I went through it. So strike it. No, my point is you still at the end of the day. The culture that you're living within, and that's what, you know, at the end of the day, the board is here for. I mean, there's influence outside District 41 that in the end, what are you going to implement to change that? And that changes, that could change.
So we're saying
that...
You mean
they should be separate, Joel? Is that what you're...
No, I'm just saying that I want to be very careful to say that our goals are about the community. Because our community here is District 41. And it's not the community outside. You know, the culture outside can shift for various reasons. Taxes could go up, sales tax could go up because Glen Allen Village of Glen Allen does, and that changes the culture for everything. You know, there's things.
Your specific culture and climate for staff, if I were just to put...
It's a classroom. It's staff. It's the CSO. It's everything.
The building.
This is more specific D41 as opposed to this is the community at large that we're engaging the community, we're communicating to the community, but this is staff.
That's what I was trying to do.
And that there'll be communication aspects under culture and climate. You can't not build that in.
Right.
Yeah, we need to know the climate of the community, though. I mean, you know, that we need to...
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
And that's part of the communication.
And that would be part of that engagement
communication. You'll find out with the community.
Communications, I apologize. Mm-hmm. So this is really about staff.
Yeah,
from
what Joe's going
I didn't do a good job.
Takes a while.
I didn't know that.
Because you can control...
Well.
Yeah. I know you struck the word control, but that it's proactive versus reactive. And you can proactively put in action items to adjust culture and climate with your staff, which is all these things are proactive goals that we're trying to do something and we will take a step to do it. Mm-hmm. And we can do those, potentially change culture and climate of the D41 staff, but the community we can't, and that's a reactive force. So I think that does fall into the community engagement aspect as a data point for engagement and connectivity and enlightenment or whatever term we're going to use.
I don't see the two separate, because the climate with what Patrick said, I think it's kind of dangerous to say that and say, well, we can change the culture internally by, you know, giving direction or giving directive. But the climate, you know, history's wrought with leadership giving direction and it being wrong. So we need to make sure, and I know he's not saying this, but we need to make sure the climate part of it is, you know, any organization has some direction, but we need to make sure that climate, I don't think the climate part between the community or the staff, we can't control either one. I mean, other than to respond and be responsive to the climate internally and externally. And that's something that, so climate for me needs to be important both externally and internally, because oftentimes, you know, we can give direction and it creates a negative climate. Mm-hmm. So
I would agree with that, because I guess I see it as, you know, the culture and climate of the school is greatly impacted by the experience that the students and the parents are having within that school. And so I think, you know, that needs to be taken into account. And I don't think I don't think it should be a reactive response on our part. I think we can be proactive in building those positive relationships and being responsive to things that are happening. I mean, when you get to the community at large, maybe they're not, you know, when you're looking at the community that doesn't have kids in school, maybe they don't have as big of an impact on the culture and climate. But I do think the community that has children in schools, especially, it is a big part of it. So I feel it's important for it to be in there.
Just to be a connection to a Ben Franklin mom on this piece regarding just the staff. When she said, teachers are happy, I'm happy. I mean, that's that culture and climate within the, as you were saying, we have a lot of control here with staff.
Happy wife is a happy life.
And then she went on to, if my teacher's pretty happy, then I'm happy, which then makes the community at large a little happier. So we have control here.
I guess I'm getting caught up in the word community, because I don't think of the community word as, I think parents are in our culture.
They are, but I agree with what you were saying. Staff, you have control. Sorry. I'm now taking over your word.
I should
know. We have influence.
You have influence.
We have influence on the culture of the staff.
You have influence on the parents, too.
You do. And I think that's that trickle-down effect of working.
I think, I mean, if we're supposed to have a partnership with our parents and, you know, be partners in the education of our kids, mm-hmm. I think, you know, they're just an important part of the culture and climate as the staff. I know that.
Okay.
Because I think we do have influence.
They do go
well,
hand.
I think the culture and climate piece.
And that's
is
what your point was. So
that's all. Yeah. That's I probably
see,
did
they
not
do go hand in hand.
Well.
And just so like my community word goes well beyond. I mean, a child has a family, and a child is our. You know, at the end of the day, is the culture and climate we're talking about, mm-hmm. along with the staff. So to me, that extends to, you know, the whole culture and climate. What we're talking about here, and that's what you said. What you said at the PTA meeting. So I'm fine with that. I don't think that word needs to be in the title. But when Stephanie and I don't know that maybe the word community, that's what it was. That's the that you stopped it there. But when I hear the word community, I think of the larger community, the whole D41 taxpayer community. That's what I'm thinking. You know, when I pick that, and I don't think that falls into that nice purple group there. I think it's the but it falls into the last group. That's all I
want to
say.
Maybe the power in this, and I don't mean power like this, but power in the ability to act on these things as two pieces, is that this board is saying as strategic priorities moving forward, culture and climate focused in the district, in the buildings, with parents, etc., is something that we take seriously, it's important. And so these X things, you know, are going to be done to do that. And that's that being ahead of the curve on it. But articulating that is that first step to being ahead of the curve. And then recognizing, too, that, I mean, in a lot of districts, schools aren't, you know, don't close at 4 or 5, 4:30 or 5. They're a place where kids come and use computers. The library is used. I mean, it becomes more of a place where, you know, community members come. I'm not saying that's what we would do, but that's another way to look at community engagement. I feel like separating them says that this board for these next X years with this long-term plan recognize the power and the importance of these pieces, however they're addressed.
Like one way to look at it, I think, is the survey that we're doing in January. That subset, that's really your culture and climate. Mm-hmm. And then the survey that we do in, you know, April, May, is mm-hmm. your community.
Larger community.
The larger community. Mm-hmm. That's how mm-hmm. I guess how I'm looking at
well,
it.
I totally 100% agree with
it. But I still think the community engagement piece of it needs to be added with climate, because, you know, that you can engage the community. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking to them and they're not engaged with you, well, then the climate is not. Then you have the same climate issues you could have internally. That's why I was saying internally and externally. I think I'm okay with what Joe said. I mean, I think the culture and climate is probably internally, and it's probably staff. But what Stephanie's saying is, when she talks about partnership, the the climate does go internally, does go to parents, because they are more directly impacted
they
on
are.
That basis than other writing, you know,
absolutely
than
right.
writing the tax checkout. But and again, there's a lot of subsets. I mean, you know, you have a partnership with people that are not your employees, yet you have employees as part of the culture and climate. So, you know, and I'm getting into some detail there.
So,
but I just think we should make sure in the community engagement piece that it's not just engaging them. For me, it's that accountability aspect that we're engaging them, but we're listening to them. And again, I know, when I say these things, I'm not advocating that we sit down, we write down everything that everybody told us, and then we should adopt them. But we should be looking for major themes where we're missing things, and we should be capturing that climate and making sure that we're not only engaging them, but we're capturing the climate and we're pivoting to go ahead and
go with connecting.
So could you have two culture and climate and then have subsets?
I just want to make sure.
I mean, to Kurt's point, could you
have some really good pieces here, and exactly what Kurt would say would be underneath this piece. Those words right there, they need to come alive underneath it, because those are your convictions and beliefs in across the board. Does everybody have those same convictions and beliefs? This is not a participatory. Okay, give us a word from our former English teacher who may be able to help us.
Community relationships.
Say it again.
Relationships. He's talking about building relationships.
Strong, yeah.
With the community.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
maybe your goal would
way
be
to
building
go.
Strong
yeah.
community relationships.
So it's around community relationships.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Somebody from our community.
Yeah. Is making a relationship.
I think the word is
engaging the board and giving us there you go.
Like, if you took it word for word.
Well, what you just said about
actually, she's taking sympathy on the board and giving us the word we were all
searching
for.
Whatever works. Yes. Whatever works.
I'll take the sympathy.
Yeah. Yeah. The word Kurt just used, it got unjust, but the word she's engaging the board. To me, that word means something, and that's why it's a good goal, because you're being proactive.
But
you
can't that be a subset under the goal? Because is our goal to engage, or is our goal to develop the relationship?
Yeah, it's both.
Well, I think
yeah, you have to do that first in order to have the right.
If she said,
you're right.
Yeah.
Ms. Bruno came up with a good idea, right? We could engage, but if we look at her and say, thanks, but we're not doing anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you haven't. Right. Then you've done nothing with the other
it's
part of it,
building
which is,
a relationship.
Which is building the relationship.
Yeah.
You're just telling her, well, thanks and no thanks.
No,
and
the two go together well.
30 years.
Community engagement and building that partnership relationship, or however we nuance that.
Building relationships.
All right.
Simple. Yep.
It's both pieces. So yeah.
All right. Where does communication fit within that? Sorry.
Well, that should be the
communication is that.
I think it's
the detail under.
Is it communication falls under the detail?
I do believe that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It does. In everyone.
All right, because you've been listening so well. Now here's your test.
Well, didn't we add accountability?
Yeah. Oh, the only.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
All of you. We have to go back to that professional development one, but you said you have some words for it. Do you want to show us on screen, or how do you want to do it?
Okay,
however you want to do it.
I would say let's start from the top right here, the academics.
In your bag.
So for goal one, we talked about academics, and I was listening and heard some conversation about not just saying academics, not just saying facilities, and so I picked up some other words to put with those broad themes. So the first one I'm proposing, from what I heard from you, to be something along the lines of academic excellence is what we want. We want academic excellence - student learning and academic achievement.
Okay.
Student learning and what?
Academic achievement.
I just kind of added academic excellence. I just added the excellence part because that's what we want. So excellence.
That's the priority.
Academics. And then under there, I've already captured some bullet points that we can use for our next step.
Perfect. Number two.
I hit a point and I meant to mention it. I'm sorry. And I don't.
Go.
I want to make sure we're capturing this, and maybe it falls in this first one we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But do we need to capture somewhere, or can we capture somewhere, like non-cognitive skills for students, like the social and emotional development, the whole child? I don't.
That's that conviction and belief that will go underneath it.
Okay, so
but
can that, would
she's
that
typing it right now,
be part of it? I don't. I want to make sure that
I think it should.
I think it should. Yeah.
I didn't know if that should be called out separate or that's part of this. Okay.
I do because it's you know, we're saying we want academic excellence. We also want to make
that's
sure
that's part of the academic excellence.
Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're.
What was the second part of it?
It's own goal.
Child.
Can be
student.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry.
No, you're good. Okay.
Okay, so for the facilities part, I had written here efficient operations and facilities, and underneath that would be things like optimized learning environment, structural stability, remaining.
Give us the strategic priority one more time. Sorry.
Efficient operations and facilities.
Yeah, I like it. Sorry.
Or efficient facilities.
It's just.
Okay.
The efficiency part came from some of the conversation around, you know, it's not just facilities. We want the facilities to work well for education for the district. So is that efficiency, or maybe there's another word?
I think you just want enhanced facilities, but
or enhances them.
Well, enhance is different than efficient, though. I think. Yeah. Say it again. The whole thing. What you have efficient.
How about
operations?
Facilities that support efficient operations?
Facilities optimization.
Yes.
I like it.
Mark.
Or facilities optimization is good.
The thesaurus sitting back there.
Well, I want to go back to the academic student empowerment.
All right, so we're still not quite there on facilities.
So I'm jotting down the facility optimization as an option.
Okay.
That sounds like.
Sounds so.
We'll work on that one.
Not
so let's go to facility. All right, let's go to finance.
It sounds like.
No, it's
technical.
About it's efficiency. It's like flexibility. It's like how do you optimize it? Get the best out of every piece, every structure that you have. That's I think what we were saying. But yeah, it's important
so work. So finances. We'll keep thinking about it. The finances, fiscal responsibility, and strength.
So is it finances, DASC, fiscal responsibility, and strength?
I just put in, finances is about you, that's yours.
Yeah.
But what I was calling it from your conversation was fiscal responsibility and strength.
That needs to be finances, DASC.
What about fiscal fiscal responsibility and financial stability? Maybe that's too many illities.
And by strength, what were you hearing us say?
Talked a lot. Well, just that we can finance what we have, that we are responsible. I guess it goes back to responsibility. I heard a lot about accountability, so that we're.
Mm-hmm. Is it health and fiscal health?
I think for me, strength relays a thing of we want to build reserves and build. Savings.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's health. It's maintaining a AAA bond rating. It's those kind of things that we
health.
Have.
I'm okay with health. Mm-hmm.
The stability word too.
I like the fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like stability too, but I don't know if that's responsibility.
Fiscal responsibility and all those other pieces could fit under that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think shorter is better for mm-hmm. these big pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of like one or two words.
I agree with Joe. I mean, we should probably give some definition a little bit more than that. Because you could take, if you put facilities in there and you really don't give much of a definition, or you just say optimization, some people may look at that and say they want to build a building. That's why they have facilities in there.
Facilities.
So if you define it a little bit more,
mm-hmm. I think it's important.
Well, I think that's why I got stuck on the idea of the learning environment, because that's that more concrete piece that we could identify as a priority. Mm-hmm. What does that mean underneath it? So
finances, fiscal
responsibility, and
fiscal
something.
Responsibility seems like that's a piece of it, but I'm not sure if we have the whole.
I don't think it's that bad. Finances-fiscal responsibility, but it's a good start.
Finances-fiscal responsibility.
Well, Erica mentioned the term accountability, and I think if we make accountability the goal, accountability to me becomes the most important goal. Not that we're numbering them, but accountability makes sure that all of these goals are being met.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's an overreaching one. I don't know if to define it within each individual one. Mm-hmm. Accountability will overreach all of these.
You should say within each one.
Which is what you kind of said yep. earlier.
So right now, finance, fiscal responsibility, I think, is where we're somewhat at right now. Again, this is not the end-all be-all tonight.
Yeah.
Could the goal just be fiscal responsibility?
That's right. I was going to get rid of the word finances, yeah.
Like mm-hmm. finances, I'm wondering, can you drop that and just make it fiscal responsibility?
I don't know why I like it saying with the dash, but
doesn't
know,
fiscal
I just feel
finance.
It's
right?
I think it's more important to be responsible with it than it is mm-hmm. calling it finances. So.
Mr. Escalante, anything on that?
Honestly.
Can I get you one way or the other?
Maybe tomorrow.
My banker friend, fiscal responsibility or finance fiscal responsibility, I think.
They want to go that thing. Finance is the wrong term altogether.
For banking.
Yeah, you want to go with the banking route. Finance is the wrong altogether.
Okay, now you're editorializing.
Yeah.
So we haven't agreed with you, but you're editorializing.
Next.
Okay,
yeah.
So the next piece is that we added for human capital, which is not up on the screen. We talked about, I mentioned exemplary staff, and under that would be things like development of our of staff, professional development, recruitment, retention of staff.
Mm-hmm. What was that one that you read?
Exemplary
mentoring.
Oh, sorry, that's fine.
Beatings.
Beatings, you said?
Beatings?
What's that? Mentoring and beatings, you said.
Okay.
Mentoring and professional development.
Professional? I don't think it did that good.
Recruitment, retention,
and mentoring,
learning
or something
development.
Along those.
I'll find it. Let's come back to that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Talent, recruit development, talented staff. That's what I wrote down.
You had recruitment, mentor, and there was a third one, and then we talked about mentoring being more of an action.
Mentor and retention of talented staff.
Yeah,
and
so
that's
we said
all the,
recruit
that's
development.
All the information
that
below exemplary.
Yeah. That's how I have it
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
So exemplary staff, there need to be more to it, and then add kind of what Stephanie said underneath it, kind of the meat behind it. Does that work or not work?
Yeah.
If you strive for exemplary staff, you're going to have to put the things in place to make staff exemplary. What if you have B and C staff? Are we okay with that?
Well, but part of, I hear what you're saying, because that was my issue around talent management.
Especially if we're going to be accountable for it at the end of the day, does that mean that, you know, I'm just saying on the Danielson rubric, everybody has to be, because there's a column. And that's not where the majority and not where the majority should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Danielson framework is how mm-hmm. we evaluate. So that's a good point.
But the add on to that is what we talked about earlier, which is under if the priority is to have exemplary staff, then there are ways to get at that. And there's that again, it's recruitment. And then it's managing the talent. I mean, it's looking for the right people based on our needs, based on, it's all bundled.
But are you tying those words to a measurable item that's already in place? And so we're setting ourselves up for failure. If you want to make all staff of Daniel 5 mm-hmm. and only 25% of them are Daniel.
You know, but what you're describing, which I think is good to define, is that then, you know, Paul working with this, the administrators and the principals looking at their teams, their schools to say, how do we help people get there? So we have, brand new teachers coming in and teacher prep programs that are very different than they were maybe 10 years ago. How do we get them to that next level? I mean, that's the means. But should we want exemplary staff? I think that's the question. Yes.
I don't
disagree with that.
There's a marginal return to every dollar that you put in to make 98-99% rates of return, right? You can put that. So
I guess I'm not defining exemplary like you're saying, which is part of the rubric.
Yeah.
I'm saying exemplary is
high
performers, dedicated.
That's the rubric. Yeah. Should we be using the same term?
Yeah. So we need to come up with a synonym.
Right. Yeah. And under Erica's point, that becomes Patrick's point is exemplary becomes very definitive, very rigid. Now we know who is and who isn't. Under Erica's, it's a little more broad-reaching, less account. It's less to be held accountable to. That's the
take on both sides.
Yeah, I mean we you have to figure out because I agree with Patrick in that we pay our teachers well, and we should expect excellence from all of them. And I don't know that we have that from all of them. Any organization, right? So. So that's where we have to be careful, you can have exemplary. Are we getting? I mean, there are staff that for 10 years we've put a lot of resources in, and they're still not exemplary. So,
I know what you're saying.
But Stephanie had
theoretical
a term.
Well, I guess it's the question here. I'm sorry. But it's the question here, what is our goal? Is our goal all of our staff is going to be exemplary? Is it we want to recruit, mentor? I mean, I guess my original idea was, do we want to recruit, mentor, and retain dedicated and talented staff? Like, is that too big of a goal? Like, is that really what the goal is? Or is the goal everyone is exemplary?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's the one you were quoting before, right?
Because that's the one underneath that you can put professional development. You can talk about this is how we grow our staff.
Mm-hmm. The answer is yes.
So one more time, Stephanie.
It was recruitment, mentoring, and retention of talented staff. What's the wording in here? But this other one says dedicated and talented educators.
Yeah, it sounds different.
Yeah, I said dedicated. Well, then I added dedicated because it's up here too. It said dedicated and talented educators are recruited, mentored, and retained.
Mm-hmm. So we're using the term exemplary. It sounds like that's saying talented, and all that encompasses. And this is how we're going to help scaffold that or support that.
So I think it could be recruitment, mentoring, and retention of dedicated and talented staff. I think that's too many words.
There's one more time for
I don't recruitment, mentoring, and retention of dedicated and talented staff. Or I don't know if staff is better or educated.
Recruit, mentor, and retain dedicated and talented staff.
Just
something about the word mentoring.
Yeah.
It has different connotations for me. I hear it, I think. What I'm hearing is development.
That's what I said before.
Mentoring has a very
well. Mentoring is a way to develop.
Absolutely,
right?
But I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a very defined.
I like it. Defined.
Well, what we're trying to say is
that means that everybody has to be mentored.
You know, at some point in their career, they should be mentored.
Okay. So that's part of the action.
Frankly, that
goes back to your finances.
The thing is, to me, that aids to your culture and climate. When you have a mentoring system in place, you find that you tend to have better cultures and climate.
Well, and that could be, again, an action item that he brings back.
Yeah,
but I think I like the word develop because I think it's more holistic. You know, mentor to me is it's actionable.
It's specific.
It's specific. But develop is we expect you to
grow.
Continuously learn, grow, share your knowledge. I mean, all those things that we're doing.
Those are going to be into, though, the action steps to get dedicated and talented staff.
Right,
right.
So if you want dedicated and talented staff, that's the goal. And then through that, you recruit.
You develop your mentor.
There's mentoring.
You retain.
There's retaining methods. All those pieces.
Yep.
See, I like mentoring in the goal because it then helps define the goal.
I think what it does is set up what we just said before, which is then everybody does it, and I think we have to let that get determined.
And I think in a team environment, everybody does it.
I think it probably happens organically at some level, I think it's about development.
Yeah, I could go on a whole speech about, everybody's mentor, everybody's being paid the same, not everybody's working the same. Either, we could get on to a whole. I kind of agree with what was just said behind me, though. Mentoring is going to, now we're going to create mentoring coaches, and now we're going to be paying people $100,000 around here to mentor people that really, in the end, it's their job. So they should be competent in their job. We shouldn't development. Then, you know, everyone can continue to develop and everyone can mm-hmm. continue to learn till the day that they retire. But in terms of mentoring, you know, to me, 20-year teachers don't need mentoring. And if they do, then they should be doing something else.
You're doing the mentoring. And quite frankly, at any point in what your being is, you can be mentored in some part of your being.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
If you ever stop doing that, then you're going to be lacking that thing. So, but that's
mentoring's not the goal, though. Mentoring's a step you take to get the goal of what
your outcome is. Having talented, well, you're
arguing it should be under the culture and climate.
But that could be. But that. But what's going to happen is that could be something that staff says. Mm-hmm. In the development part, we believe we need a mentoring program, and will you guys sign off on the additional budget?
That's exactly.
Then that becomes a budget conversation.
That's exactly.
And you love those.
I agree with Eric. Because if you look at all.
Say it again, Erica. One more time. Sorry. I know you have something in your mouth.
Dedicated and talented staff.
Yeah. And then what comes underneath it is what this 10-minute conversation was about.
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm still making my argument.
I know you are. I know. I'm just making some quick eye contact around the room. All right. I think the only one is
accountability. We have a that.
We still have culture and climate.
We do.
And we talked about some community engagement.
No, we got that one.
No, I feel good about this. I feel good about culture and climate.
What is it, though?
We didn't
because it's that. Oh.
Is that what we're doing?
Oh, I apologize. I just calculated that.
We had a long conversation about it. Yeah.
I didn't give it.
I just used the word enhanced, just saying enhanced culture and climate, and enhanced culture and climate. I don't know. I feel like we're struggling with that one.
Yeah, we are.
So that, but we're comfortable with culture and climate around staff.
We just need to figure out how to say it.
How to say it. Yeah, are you okay with that?
We agree.
We don't need to wordsmith it right this time.
It's not putting a...
It shouldn't be enhanced because I got stuck on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. Is it a bucket or is it the thing you're going to monitor underneath?
No, I mean, culture and climate needs to have some.
I think it's a priority. I think we've all said that it is a priority.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But are we, I'm confused now, because are we just saying staff or are we saying the District 41 community, which includes parents?
Well, and that's what I was saying. I mean,
we're saying that.
We think we're saying different things.
I think we are saying some different things.
Yeah.
Because I heard this is about staff. This is about community engagement in relationships. Yeah, and then from here, this is where we talked about some of that work underneath. Maybe I missed it.
I was asking Stephanie to define community.
I think the easiest way that I can
and we
define
agreed,
it.
But
is.
We agreed that it's what's in the school and the child's in the school, the parents are in the school.
Right.
That's where the culture
is. That's where we left off.
Yeah, that's where we left off.
Yeah. So it's a little more expanded than staff.
Okay.
It's the school.
The school community.
Yeah.
School community.
Okay, it encompasses it, but
it's the school community as a whole.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's not the larger overarching community.
But don't get me wrong, within that subset is a culture of the team, you know, the teachers and the administrators and...
Mm-hmm. All those different components.
Right.
Custodians, everything.
Right.
Everything.
So school, community, culture, and climate.
Yep.
We got it?
See, I don't like the word community in it. Because
community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She defined it as school community. Then you give it a definition.
Okay. All right. School, community, culture, and climate. Mm-hmm. Is there an and in there?
No.
No, school, community.
Don't add more words.
I know.
It's not school, community.
Yeah.
Community
engagement in relationships.
Building relationships.
What did you
building relationships.
What did you have, Erica?
Communication goes underneath that.
Well, we were kind of working on it too. I wrote down strong community relationships, engagement, and connections.
We can't have strong in there. I think we've already kicked out your positive idea or something. Or Kurt's positive.
It was my idea he kicked out.
There we go.
I mean, the community relationships I like. I think the community connectedness works because you can put a lot of stuff underneath there to get to that.
Mm-hmm. I like community engagement and building
relationships.
I think that's where we kind of landed on.
Yeah.
That's what was given to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the first step in building relationships.
That's right. We got an example right here live.
Doesn't mean we can't pivot later on.
Okay.
So do we have the areas?
That'd be so
for the most part.
We need a,
can you go to this screen and put them up here so we can now see it? Can you go to the edit version?
We need to do facilities. We're still
right.
A little.
Sorry. So let's go back to facilities. Well, Erica and wow, it's okay. Don't pay attention. So we were really talking about facilities and not feeling like that's strong enough around student learning environments.
I'm just stuck on that.
Okay. That's okay. You can be stuck on that.
There's something there. Because it's not before the keyword.
Maybe it's facilities and. It's more than it was back then because, again, it was such a huge effort. Now it's always, to your point, there's always going to be a facility part. They're never not going to go away. So you need to have
for it.
But maybe it's facilities and learning environments. We don't need students because that's implicit.
So what
right?
kind of facility?
Before you know, I know. But
well, then what kind will go underneath?
Yeah, and I think I'm better with facilities if we add. I'm better with facilities if we add learning environment because I think what it does is focus the long term of this, Patrick, that you talked about.
Is it okay to save facilities
property?
Driven by learning environments? Is that a goal?
Mm-hmm.
That our goal is to have facilities driven by learning environments as opposed to facilities for facilities' sake.
What about proper facilities and learning environment?
What about that?
I don't think facilities are driven. I'm getting like crazy about this, but when I hear facilities, it's everything. It's long range. It's age and obsolescence. It's roofs. It's all those things. It's all those things.
Yeah.
But what we're saying, what's different for me doing this moving forward now is that we're also saying the focus is on the learning environment because of the different articulated needs of our students, because of larger student populations with achievement gap issues, because of all those things, because our teachers are educating differently, that learning environment is tangible, it's visceral, it's different than just a facility.
And that's why the word appropriate is very close to what we'll end up in. Before it was 21st century, so, you know, what is it today? What kind of...
Facilities and appropriate learning environments. Is that what you said?
I said appropriate facilities and learning environments.
Dean said appropriate. Would define below? Because you're leaving proper to your imagination,
yeah,
imagination, and everyone else's.
You define appropriate below.
I mean,
what you do with the title. You need a title that's more than facilities. I mean,
a more robust word than proper.
Yeah, no, there's robust than appropriate.
What about
too.
Appropriate? Appropriate lends to, you're going to help decide that. You know, in X school, this is the appropriate learning environment for preschool, whatever.
But there's a word better than appropriate. Not that it isn't a good word. There's one better that speaks to an enhanced learning environment. And enhanced isn't the right one.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that speaks
suitable,
to
suitable,
supportive learning.
Aren't we automatically giving staff the opportunity to create the learning environment? I mean, just under facilities. And if they want to change that, I guess for me, if you narrow the scope too much, and you narrow the ability. So if staff believes that there's, I don't know, a more appropriate way to be doing things, they can come to the board and say, hey, you know, I think in the direction we're moving, we need to do some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when you leave it open to facilities, you leave it open to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start putting words on there, you start really defining it, and you're back to the rigidness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking
learning environment from a physical standpoint, not from an internal.
It's all accountable because everything under facilities
structural,
is going to cost money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
can
so
you
it's
say
always
just
coming back
a goal is to have the appropriate facilities? That would be our goal.
It's definitely not just. It's definitely not just having facilities.
I feel like it's flat.
But
especially when you look at the other areas,
the brokery facilities could be much different, outdefined, right? I mean, there could be people that say, hey, I'm okay with affordable. That's an appropriate facility.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were that way for 10 years.
But are we defining it below?
I'm not saying that.
But that's okay.
We are.
I'm not saying that's okay.
I'm saying the learning about for me is structural. I hear what you're saying, Kurt, because you don't want to constrict it. But I think what we're trying to think about, if this is going to be 4 years, that we're saying we know that learning environments structurally are going to change or they're going to need to be changed. But what you're talking about is actually the climate in the classroom, kind of the culture in the classroom, and the teachers are always going to adapt for that. They're always going to be shifting that. So that's what I'm thinking about.
I'm just saying facilities just
state again.
What's wrong with optimization? I mean, that it covers everything. It gives you the ability to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions.
And I use the word optimized from another one.
Facilities.
And optimal learning environments. Maybe it's optimal learning environments.
You like that learning environment?
She's going to weave that.
I can't. Sorry.
I still go back though. This one really for
optimal
a lot of people
space?
Is very. It's
keep going.
I think
keep going.
I'm actually trying to bolster your arguments that I think you're boxing yourselves in by stating these things, by trying to make it a goal so that you're getting it. But I think facilities are facilities, and they encompass a lot of things. And over the next 4 years, those facilities, we may have to adapt in a lot of ways to those facilities.
But your goal with and the facilities so, is something. It's not just facilities.
It's not just facilities. It's what's the priority around facilities?
That's what I'm saying.
What
so
about
it's something about the facility
the
that you want to the there's something on it.
I like
you want them all painted
like
red.
I know.
Google it.
Somebody else wrote about it.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's where I got optimal space.
What about facilities that support the long-range needs of students?
Facilities that support strategic priorities.
Could it be future needs?
No. It's got to be the current needs.
Well, current and future needs.
I don't think our staff is going to put our kids in an environment that's not optimizing. That's not. I mean, nothing is perfect. And when you say optimize, you mean optimal. We're probably never going to get that either, because now we're back to defining a teacher and, you know, whether that teacher is
optimal or
exactly. I mean, so that's why I say.
We have taken off the qualifiers on almost everything else.
I don't know that we have. Is it facilities that support really good relationships? I mean, I'm okay with saying it.
I just think
thank you
go around and find some people that are going to say optimal.
Because you're right.
I'm not sure, because it becomes something.
I think Stephanie's going to hit on what my picture is, which is these are longer term, right? So it's but there's an accountability for what we're doing currently with all of these goals, because that's the accountability piece today, tomorrow. So maybe it's facilities.
What did you think?
For
what if we just shortened it and just say it's facilities that support our needs?
Well, that's what I was saying. Facilities that support strategic priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Facilities that support.
Well,
or you know our needs.
I like our needs.
Okay.
More simple. This is me.
Circular.
I like that. Maybe that's intuitive. I think we're not there. Needs are fine. I prefer the current and current and future needs.
Why don't we just put facilities support or whatever?
And we define the paragraph, and then maybe that
we can take out strategic.
I think that's a good
facility
idea.
Facilities support our priorities. But that's not a bad one because that encompasses everybody's priority.
It's actually not bad. Facilities that support our priorities.
There you go.
Because that priority, that gives everybody on the board a say in what their priority is on that.
Right.
So that's
well, it ties back into some of those other pieces, yeah.
Wait, support strategic
priorities? No.
Just our priorities.
Is it district priorities?
Yep. Yeah, there you go. District priorities. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. And that also encompasses, it can encompass the survey, right? So.
You know when they just move it down.
Yeah.
Facilities that support district priorities.
I mean, just saying. All right. But right now, I think, are you comfortable with this? Do we have
Two, four, six. We need one more.
We have six.
Accountability.
The last one.
The communication person would like to change.
Go for it.
Well, the building relationships makes in education speak of think of like the school building.
Oh.
So could we say something
developing
like developing or meaningful relationships?
You want to go real education? Go nurturing.
Okay, say again. What's
meaningful is not bad if everybody else is okay with it.
Community engagement and meaningful relationships or community engagement and.
Well, you got to do something with the relationships. You need it.
Developing.
You need
developing.
You need a verb.
So remember, connection that you made.
Before we get off of this, remember that when we looked at it originally, one of the problems the board was dealing with when they had the finances and facilities together was that they were trying to solve the problem. I think now what we're saying is, I don't want to call it a problem necessarily, but we want to make improvement in our relationship.
Fostering?
Yeah,
another
so we
educational.
Enhanced,
fostering.
I like fostering relationships.
Yeah, yeah, it's more active.
Fostering
relationships.
Yeah. I used that earlier.
Because we want to do better.
Yeah.
Well, fostering is nurturing, promoting, encouraging. Those are the.
No, I like that.
Is there a seventh goal of accountability in itself?
Yes.
We think
in of itself?
We think so.
Okay, it's not woven into
because
each one?
I thought it was every single one that was going to
I think we're going to have a hard time with the paragraph underneath it.
Hmm. Accountability for the six goals in front of you.
Yeah, well, that's the way I look at it. Accountability is all-encompassing out of the entire...
So maybe we're saying the same thing.
What about
long-range
fidelity
plan?
And accountability? Or just accountability?
I think accountability says it all. Because it's the one word that works by itself.
Yeah. So maybe it's, again, somebody much better with graphics, but that accountability would kind of go on this side of it, so where it does bleed in across all
I
of
like
them.
That.
Again, well, that somebody would be much better with...
Well, I think if you say accountability and then just say it encompasses the entire long-range plan, then it gets...
That overarching.
Have, for me, this is just me, but you have to have that as a title, as a goal, because it doesn't get lost in the paragraphs. It's right there and it says
okay.
And that's just me.
You're talking about graphics here now. I mean, because like you
and
can
I
put it out.
Okay, please don't.
Apologize.
Ten to ten. Arch.
I think what Kurt said is where we started, which is a nice way to kind of
okay.
come to wrap up.
We'll
which
have
is,
an accountability.
Which is
long
that
yeah,
long-range plan accountability. And to that point, though, we also said then in each of these, the 3 to 5 year goals. Will identify specific accountabilities for academic excellence, achievement, blah, 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 all those.
So is the goal, next goal, that we get all these things sent to us with a little kind of...
We're not going to add anything else. We're going to leave these pieces here.
But are we going to get some of the fine print from what we said tonight?
Oh, yeah. You all the notes, you'll get all the notes.
And then we can...
We got to come back together
and
do this together around... That the beliefs and convictions under each one.
Yep.
So now you have just time to think about those pieces. Really think about 3 to 4 phrases or words that you would place under each one. So we can continue having this really good conversation using this document and this document and every other resource that's out there. What are those convictions? And these are really your personal convictions and beliefs around each one that should drive the district. As a board member, as somebody who represents the community, what are those pieces long-term you're looking for? And then I'm going to go back to what Erica said really early on about academics. A good one would, for Erica, as I heard her say, rigorous would be one of those words that she would incorporate within the academic excellence one. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to really look at that piece and talk about it. Mm-hmm. So your homework is really looking at each of these. We will send you all the notes behind it. And then thinking about 3 to 4 words or phrases that helps you define each one of these. And then we'll come back together and do the same thing with that next, by putting this together.
Could we send our 3 to 4 points to Nancy so we could have them all like
so everybody can see them.
To look at it, maybe
love
it. Help facilitate the discussion.
Anything to move it along.
I was going to say, if we could get these out, yeah.
Way to go.
Can I ask a question?
That's good.
Sorry, I'm going to go back to
No.
Just super quick. Did we decide for the third one, is it going to be financial-fiscal responsibility?
We're going to stick with fickle.
I thought we had fiscal.
I didn't know if we wanted the finances on the beginning or not. I know Joe did.
Well, I think the term is on there because I think it aligns. It aligns. You said this. I think it aligns back to our assistant superintendent title. I think, you know, for me that makes that connection. When I think fiscal, it's the activity of finances, but finances is the umbrella.
Yeah. And again, we don't have the. We're not. Married to this yet?
Think about it.
You will be, but think about it, and maybe we come back together the next time with even.
This is really put the fifth one down. Maybe we can play with this one, but like community engagement is a noun, and like fostering relationships is a verb. I feel like we need to make
engage
either both verbs
the community,
or both nouns.
Engage the community and fostering relationships.
Okay, there you go.
Can we do
okay,
that one? Engage the community. All right.
I'll make a motion.
Before you motion, just real quick. So we're gonna send some dates out so we can come back together relatively soon. Nancy will do that tomorrow. Send us back what works. We'll try to give you a number of different dates in the coming weeks, not months, in the coming weeks, so we can come back together and have this next conversation.
Nancy, your thoughts
on the convictions and beliefs under each one.
So we're going to get these sent to you.
You're going to get these sent to you with all of the, whatever they captured.
And then we send back our thoughts.
And then you send back your convictions and beliefs around those words or phrases. Don't put it all together because that'll be the collective group. Okay? And then we'll send those out to the whole group so you can look at them and come back together. I'm hopeful this was, from my perspective, this was really positive.
Mm-hmm.
This was a really great opportunity for the board to come together and do some incredibly important work. And I think a lot of people worked together and did some good work. So I appreciate your time. And I know we ran a little bit over. So thank you. Now, back
thank
to you.
You. All right, may I have a motion to adjourn the special meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Did you get that, Nancy?
Dean and Drew.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nope. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.